Joining us now is Brody Comer. People might remember her voice as the former co-host here on the show with me. Good morning, Brody.
Good morning, Phil.
Hey,
and Gary.
Brody, how are you?
Good, very good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, cool.
Doing all right. It's nice and warm in the studio, all this equipment humming.
Nice.
And welcome back to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So you got some exciting news. What's going on?
Well, I've been a bit busy with making some wine.
That's fantastic.
Just been pretty fun with my partner Tim and two of our friends, our friend Ben who works at Yarra Yearing, and our friend Rosemary who's not in the wine industry. So she's been great having a different palate to work with. And so the four of us, just about to release our first wine from 2018 vintage. And our brand's called Yugen Wines.
Yugen Wines. And what does that come from?
So Yugen is a Japanese word. And it's actually, we came across it because we were reading through this dictionary of untranslatable words. we were just like trying to find a really cool word that meant something to us that kind of described what we were doing. And we just couldn't find anything. And then we just happened to be looking through this it was at a friend's place, and we came across the word Yugen, and it describes a feeling, and it's the feeling that you get of like being in awe of the universe and nature. So, you know, for example, like you're standing on a mountain range and looking out at the mountains, you that feeling that you have, and it really resonated with us because that's at the time we were leasing a vineyard in Macedon and working in the vineyard a lot, and it sort of just really. Like describe the feeling that we feel being in the vineyard and how in awe of nature you are and totally at its mercy as well in vineyards. So that's what you can mean.
That's very cool.
Incredibly cool. Yeah. And what have you made?
We've made all sorts of things. We've made some skin contact Sauvignon Blanc.
Yep.
We're all about the skins. We made a skin deep Pinot Gris, which is pretty cool. We made a Gewürztraminer, which is under floor. So, it sort of looks a little bit like sherry, but then it's really floral and it's a bit of a wild wine, but it's lots of fun. And we made Pinot Noir from Macedon, from the vineyard. We made Chardonnay, we made Syrah, and this year for the 2019 vintage, we've found this awesome guy in Macedon who's growing some really great Merlot, so we bought some fruit from him and we've made some Merlot as well.
God, you have been busy.
Yeah.
just a small soft release, a couple of wines.
Where are you making them, bro?
We're just making them out at Galley because
cool.
Tim used to work for them, so we've just, you know, got the relationship there and it's really close to home, so it's really handy for us to get out there. So, yeah.
Oh, good.
Is Pinot Gris making a comeback, guys? Because, Gary, you said you made some this year.
I mean, it's, you know, my day job is working as a wine rep, and we're definitely seeing a growth and demand for Pinot Gris, but I think probably the styles that Gary and we would make would probably not be in that sort of market segment, because I think it's more that Pinot Grigio sort of style, whereas
like a red wine, don't we? So, pretty much.
Yeah. So, but I definitely think there's the demand for skin contact styles and orange wines are growing, so it's probably more where we sit. And I don't know what kind of style you're doing, Gary?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, it's just, fermented as a red wine for about 2 weeks in a concrete tank. So, yeah, that, you know, for me, Pinot Gris is a red wine. It's red skinned. Happens to have white pulp, but so does pretty much every other red variety of grapes.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Doesn't have a lot of colour, but it has a hell of a lot of flavour. And like the, always found, I don't know about you, Brody, but you know, that the sort of early, that tank fermented Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris style can be kind of inert and a bit flavourless. But as soon as you get the skins in contact with Pinot Gris, it really transcends and becomes quite a beautiful wine. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why people don't use the skins. That's the best part.
Yeah, exactly.
Great, you know.
Is there a benchmark or a place in the old world where this style is prevalent?
Probably. I don't know if it's actually Pinot Gris, but the style of wine is similar to like that, which is in Friuli and, you know, the old school where everything gets fermented on skins, regardless whether it's white or red. It's just sort of how you made wine. So, yeah.
What about you, Brody? Did you base it on any wine?
I drank some like really great skin degree from Friuli, but also we were already making skin contact wine the previous vintage with Sav. And, I work for a company that imports Georgian wine, and it's the OG orange winemakers. So I had an interest in orange wine from that, and I was looking for varieties that I thought would be suitable to make different styles of orange. And for me, making like skin contact wine, I think that it's the best varieties are aromatic varieties.
Yeah.
And Pinot Gris fits into that, and we came across this fruit, and we were just like, absolutely, we jumped on it.
I remember, like, our mutual friend Rendod with ephemeral wines. You know, what he does with Vermentino with skins is quite incredible. So it's a completely different wine to what you think Vermentino is.
Yeah. We had Ren on the show, I think one of our first shows, Brody.
We did.
Yeah, he's a fantastic guy. Hey, so the Georgian connection, any chance of importing some Queveri and messing around with that stuff?
Well, the company that I work for, Venice, actually import Queveri.
Yeah.
So I could get some off them if I wanted to, and it's definitely on the cards later on down the track. If other people want to get Queveri, they can call me because I've got them.
All right, we've probably gone a step too far. What? Better explain what they actually are.
If people know what an amphora is, it's essentially the Georgian version of an amphora.
Yeah.
So a big clay vessel that is a really ancient way of fermenting and storing wine. And in Georgia, and now in a lot of countries where they make wines in these styles, they bury them in the ground, so the cool temperature of the earth keeps it nice and cool during fermentation.
And they look remarkable too.
Mm. Yeah, they're very sexy. Yeah.
In Georgia, they call them a womb.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, and they are kind of in the shape of a womb. But, yeah.
And your former co-worker, Aiden, who's over in Georgia now, he said that they kind of feel like wines not raised in the Queveri are soulless, not real wines.
Yeah, that's what they say. And they don't rack the wines, most producers, because they believe you're taking the baby from its mother if you're taking the wine away from the leaves.
There's some incredibly distinctive wines that they make there, so it's... It's funny.
Well, Georgia is the birthplace of viticulture. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
8,000 years ago, they found some stuff, yeah.
Yeah, they've got a site dating back to 8,500 years. So they do believe that it is the first sort of place that it's... we started actually training vines and intentionally making wine.
And it's funny because when I talk to people about Georgian wine, they're like, ooh, do they make wine? It's like, do they? Yeah. Hey, Brody, I'm curious about your Gewurz aged under floor. How does that come about?
It's kind of an accident.
as the best wines are.
Awesome.
Yeah. But it was a happy accident, and we're really pleased with the results. So we just tasted it when it had a little bit of floor, and we thought, oh, actually, this is pretty cool. So instead of, sulfuring it to get rid of it, we just decided to leave it. And we've just left it for quite a while. We haven't actually bottled the Gewurz yet. It's about to be bottled. So it's been, over a year under floor. So every time we taste it, it just looks better and better. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so were you guys messing around with the floor in the winery, or like how did it come about?
We didn't top up.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
A bit of neglect.
It wasn't intentional, but I think sometimes those things actually end up, being some of your most interesting wines. So, yeah.
And so Gewurz tastes a little bit like sherry, but does it still have that lychee and, Turkish delight kind of characters going on?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's macerated in fruit, so it doesn't really have the Turkish delighty characters, but it's more like sort of gingery sort of spice and then lots of, florals and... Yeah, it's really cool. It's a great variety to grow out there, hey?
Sounds like one of the Van Jorn styles from Jura, that ginger and stuff going on.
Yeah, it's not as savoury, I'd say.
Okay.
But definitely sort of in that realm, yeah.
Yeah,
it's probably because a lot of people do find straight Gewurztraminer quite confronting because it is so overtly aromatic and Yeah, tempering it with a bit of floor sounds like it'd be an absolutely perfect mix.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? We'll see what people think when they try them.
You know, the market at the moment, Brody, as we know, the kind of the wackier the better. It's never been a better time to make the weird and wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll have a lot of success with it.
Are you going to do it again next year?
No, this is sort of a bit of a one-off with this wine. So, yeah, if no one drinks it or buys it, we'll just drink it ourselves.
I'll drink some. I'll put my
Yeah, cool. We'll come down to the winery.
Yeah, come on in.
Hey, so are you doing a bit of a release for your wines?
We are. We're just finalising a date and a venue, but we will be having a little sort of a bit of a party.
Yeah.
And just inviting a bunch of friends and family and wine trade. But yeah, haven't set a date for that just yet.
Awesome. And how are we going to find out about the wines as consumers? Have you got a website or are you on the socials somewhere?
We've just set up our Instagram. We're a little bit behind on all this stuff. But if people want to follow us, they can follow us at Eugen, YUGEN_wine.
Hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
I can't wait to see the T-shirts for Eugen Wines. I reckon they'll be pretty good. So when you bring the merch out.
Yeah, we should do a collab merch. Jamsheed Eugen merch.
Jamsheed Eugen.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. Hey, Brody, so you mentioned in passing that you're working for a wholesale company, Vinus, which bring in some amazing wines. What have you tried recently that you've been impressed with?
We just drank some 2015 Clemens Bush GG Riesling, which is just out of this world.
Yeah.
Those wines are amazing. I'm surprised we still actually have a little bit of 15 left with such a great vintage.
Where are they located?
So they're in Marienburg in the Moselle River in Germany.
Yeah. And so to be GG, they've got to be dry styles?
Yeah.
And what a... got a bit of ageing potential there?
Oh, definitely. Those wines could cellar for a very long time.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Yep.
Yeah, I'll take some of that.
What else have you got for us?
That's more wine I'll bring to the winery.
There you go. Cool.
Sounding like a good day.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Yeah.
Well, actually, just off air, Gary and I were talking about the fact that we can do outside broadcasts, so we might have to do...
Yeah, do some OBs at the winery.
Yeah, do an outside broadcast jam sheet. We can get Eugen in and a few other things.
Because that GG sounds perfect breakfast wine to me. So.
Oh, yeah.
Gary was lamenting that we're not allowed to have liquids in the studio here on Sunday mornings.
I mean, I do think
I thought it was actually illegal to have a wine show that you weren't allowed, that you weren't drinking wine on. That's part of the industry.
If it's not illegal, it should be made illegal.
I'm slowly lobbying for the show to be pushed back to a more civilised hour so it makes even more sense.
Yeah. Pass the yardarm at least.
Brody, that's awesome. Thank you for calling in and having a chat about your wines. We are going to find you on the socials with Eugen_wine, and we're going to hear about the releases. And, well, there's only 7 wines that we need to taste to catch up.
Yeah, only.
What kind of quantities are you making them in?
Oh, it's tiny, hey. It's really small, yeah. Just starting small. We'll grow slowly. Mm.
And where are you going to try and place them?
We're happy to sell to whoever wants to buy them.
Yeah.
I think probably they'll be mainly restaurants. Probably a few retailers.
Yeah.
Smaller retailers.
And you're going to have a website where people can buy them direct?
We will, yeah. Yep. That's just, haven't got around to that just yet.
All right, that's excellent. Brody, thank you for calling in. We're going to follow you on the socials and wait for the wine release, and I'm definitely keen to try that Gewurz under floor.
Yeah, I'm dead. Cool. I can't wait to see him, Brody. It's exciting.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Say hey to Tim, too.
Will do.
All right, thanks, Brody.
See you later. Hey.
See you.
Bye.
This is Brody Comer from Eugen Wines. And you can jump on the social, Eugen_wine, and find them there. And when they're released, we'll know about it. We'll grab a song, we'll come back, and we'll just keep chatting about wine, Gary.
Get nerdy. Yeah.